And welcome to Off the Dirt. Tara Henry here with D1 Softball. And I'm joined by Gray Robertson, out of the box, Alabama softball, everything, SEC, everything. He also just consented to me allowing him to use his name, image, and likeness. So, Gray, yes. Thank you for allowing me and D1 Softball to use your name, image, and likeness.
Of course, anytime. It's always good to see you, Tara.
Speaking of name, image, and likeness, you know, we actually didn't talk about this, but let's talk about name, image, and likeness and what you've seen kind of over the past month now that it's been passed and athletes are starting to roll out various partnerships and brands. What do you think is your biggest takeaway in terms of this NIL and how athletes are using it?
I would say I just feel like it's going really fast. I mean, things, you know, this was in the works for a very long time. It had been discussed for a very long time. But then when it dropped, it seemed like nobody actually had a plan for what they wanted to do. And so they were just trying to put out something really quickly. And maybe that's wrong. That's just the way I'm perceiving it. But I just feel like things are moving very quickly. And I feel like as much as athletes wanted it, they weren't ready to act once it happened. And because of that, we have seen you know, some interesting choices around the country. And I still think we really don't know what this is going to actually do to college sports. And we probably won't know for a couple of years, but right now things are just moving very, very quickly.
I would agree with that, all of that. And I think softball players have an incredible and unique opportunity to use their name, image, and likeness, and should do so. But I also think it's very important to be careful and cognizant of, you know, what type of brand you put out there, you know, how it all is put together. And I agree. I think a lot of it's being rushed. And at the end of the day, I hope everybody remembers that their number one goal is to play softball.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that everybody is crushing right now is camps. I love that because people are really, and you know, they're doing it to pass along information. They're also now have the capability to make money. They can actually do this because really you can't in the prior system. And I'm really loving all the pictures I'm seeing on Twitter of little girls getting to pitch with Montana or Kaylee Tao or just all of these college athletes who have so much to offer to the next generation. And now they finally have a chance to do that. And so I think of all of the pluses I've seen, that's the biggest one, the ability to kind of pass things down to, and I guess also help continue to grow the game, because if these kids at 9, 10, 11 are torn between volleyball, softball, and soccer, getting to go to a camp coached by an SEC pitcher of the year and a 2-time All-American, you know, might sway a little bit more of the softball side.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's just growing the game.
Like exactly.
And, you know, especially college athletes have so much knowledge to give back to these younger athletes and also look up to them as huge role models. So that's NIL. And we weren't going to get into that, but you just kind of brought it up right in the beginning of the show, but I think it's important and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You're right. And how it impacts teams, how it impacts team chemistry, how it impacts, obviously we've got the transfer portal as well. Our university is going to start recruiting in terms of, you know, your name, image, and likeness out there. So it's already started with football and basketball, and that's, you know, those are the big guns, but still I think softball has a unique opportunity to also get into that space. So that's NIL. Let's just do a quick recap with the Florida Gulf Coast League, FGCL. It was a long summer. Gray was there every day, every minute, every hour, every second, and put his heart and soul into that whole thing this summer. Gray, what are your biggest takeaways from the second season of the FGCL?
Oh man, thank you for that, because it was a long summer and these were very long days. And boy, was I frustrated sometimes when things wouldn't be working, whether it be technologically or something. And I talked to you a little bit privately about that. And also I'm really enjoying that the viewers at home are kind of getting a little glimpse at our own telephone calls that just begin with random topics and then dive around. This is kind of how Tara and I operate together. So this is a good glimpse into that. I thought the summer was awesome. I was really impressed with the talent that we had. It was competitive top to bottom, kind of like with college softball. Nobody was safe. We saw upsets every single day. We saw players step up in different moments. We saw, I think, some of the best games in all of college softball in 2021 happen that first day of the postseason when the top four seeds all advanced, three of which won on walk-offs. It's like stupid. I don't know how that's possible, but it happened. And these games were nuts. The action was great. A lot of fun fan support from family and friends and coaches, and everybody was really excited about it this summer. And I think that it'll just continue to grow and develop that league. I'm interested to see which names come back and how we can keep that momentum going next summer. But I think that, you know, for a sophomore year, it went pretty well.
And we announced this week on D1Softball.com that the Florida Vibe, which will be a part of the FGCL, so it's a new professional team, has been announced and will work in conjunction with the FGCL and hopefully allow some players the opportunity to play after college. The idea is to help meld those two together and really grow the sport. Gray, what are your thoughts on the Florida Vibe and how that's going to work out next summer?
I'm intrigued. I've put together a little bit of a mock proposed schedule for next year, and we'll see where the Vibe fits into that. Obviously, I'm all for all of the chances for these athletes to play more after college. And with the MPF officially folding, those options are now even more limited. There's AU and the Pride and now the Vibe, and that's kind of it. So any more chances you can give to these softball players to play after college, I think is really beneficial. I don't really know how it's going to go. And I think that's kind of what's exciting about it, is it's all one big experiment. And I guess we'll wait and see. I'm sure something that's in the text threads and the combos until we all reconvene in Sarasota next June.
You know, and it's really interesting, Gray, because I've done some traveling in Europe and worked over in England and Europe with softball, and there are club teams where women play into their 40s. Now, they're not all professional teams, but There's something here in the States to where players just stop playing after they're out of college. Number one, I think it's because there's not a lot of places for them to go. Number two, there's this idea where obviously they want to be professional, want to be paid and all the above, but we've got to grow it somehow. So I can see both sides. And at the end of the day, I do think we need to rethink our model here in the States, because it hasn't worked.
No, too many talented players have just kind of stopped. And that's a shame.
If you look to Japan, they've got a pro league in Japan. A lot of our players go to Japan. Now, let's take Toyota for example. They're playing for Toyota and then working for them year round. But I think this is something that the softball world in general needs to get together, and instead of probably fighting like we've done in the past, putting our heads together to figure out the best way possible, the best way forward, so these incredibly talented women can still keep playing the game of softball. So is this a step in the right direction? I hope so. But at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of people that need to get together into a room and figure out how we can actually have pro softball in the States. All right, off my soapbox.
Again, right on the money for how our phone calls go.
So we had FGCL, and then we just got finished with the Olympics. Gray was up. It was a little bit later your time, 5:45 your time.
Yeah, I mean, yes, later comparatively, but I'm not up that early very often.
To watch the gold medal game. And we watched the bronze medal game as well. I mean, we're on other sides of the country, but in terms of the U.S. getting the silver and Japan taking home the gold for the second time, what were your biggest takeaways from the bronze medal or gold medal games and watching the Olympics and having softball back into the Olympics?
Well, I think I said this on the pregame show, but I mean, it was exciting for me to get up and watch this gold medal match, because that last time was 2008 and I was 11 and I wasn't really a big softball fan then. Yeah. And now I am on D1 softball on a video talking with Tara Henry, who played at UCLA, and I've done softball stuff for like 6 years. So it was really fun to get to experience that. That being said, the more I've sat on it, the more I just really feel like this was a missed opportunity for Team USA. And, you know, you never want to say settle for silver, because getting a medal in anything is incredible. And that accomplishment should be celebrated. But man, it feels like a missed opportunity that Team USA didn't win gold this year, because you had two of the best pitchers ever on that team, and you just couldn't find a way to get the offense to back it up. So I am really, honestly, now kind of turning the page, fascinated by what Team USA will look like for the World Games in Birmingham, shout out, plug to my hometown, next summer, because I feel like that will be more, that will be a window a little bit into what the plan might be for 2028 when we get there to LA, because they're going to have to replace a lot of people. So we're going to see what that first step will look like as we get ready for the Olympics again in 6 years, 7 years. Gosh, sounds crazy. And I'm really intrigued by what those selections will be, because I think it'll be really telling, honestly.
I agree. And then in terms of the bronze medal game, you had the Danielle Lauries, Kaylee Rafters, Victoria Haywards, and Jin Saling, and retiring. You know, that it's the changing of the guard up there in Canada as well. And I really do believe Canada, I mean, Japan as well, obviously Japan was the most prepared, but Canada really prepared for these Olympics and did a heck of a job and really demonstrated such a team mentality, team first mentality. And just really, I think I said it before, but just really pleased for them that they've taken on the bronze, and they just won the gold in soccer today. So yeah, I mean, they're giving us a run for our money, Canadians, see?
But you know what's, I think what's funny about that bronze medal game, I mean, obviously both those, I almost said schools, both those nations are trying to win their first medal in softball, and they played like it. And I was really impressed by just the grit and the heart and just how tough both teams were. I honestly thought one of the biggest mistakes in that entire game, and I said this on the text thread many, many times, was not having Tori Vidalis a little higher in the Mexican order, because she led off two innings after the batter ahead of her in the order got out with a runner in scoring position and two outs. And that's like Tori Vidalis's catnip, right? Yeah. Clutch moments. Yeah. I mean, I was a little surprised by that, especially considering she stayed in that part of the order after having a big two RBI single in the game before to get to that bronze medal match against Australia. So that was kind of the one thing that stuck out to me about that. But I mean, obviously Danielle Lauries being the one to finish it off for Canada, it's just, it was too perfect. It had to go out that way. And I was really happy for her that she got that moment after waiting for so long to get that chance.
Yeah. I mean, I have the chills just thinking about it. Just couldn't happen to a better person, harder worker, and a great ambassador for the sport of softball. So that's the Olympics. Last thing, let's go into coaching changes. We don't have a ton of time, but I want to hear from you, Gray. It's been a ton of movement in the off season, and also a few longtime coaches finally retired, and longtime associate head coaches or assistants have taken over. Kendrea, Caitlin Lowe at Arizona, Kathy Van Wyk at San Diego State with Casey Neuvman. Both those two Olympians, obviously, USA. Are taking over. But what is your biggest surprise in terms of coaching surprises, or who you have your eye on heading into that head coach role?
Well, I'll mention too, I thought the entire Georgia coaching search was really interesting, because we were speculating a lot about it, and we thought that the move that they would make would be retaining Tony Baldwin and moving him up to be the head coach. And then 2 weeks passed and we were wondering, well, wait, what's taking so long? And then there were rumors about who was interviewing and who got offered the job, and no one really knew. And then we ended up all being right, and it was Tony Baldwin. So I'm really excited to see what he can do in Athens. I think that is a roster that is really primed to make a jump next year if they can find the pitching, because that offense is young and talented and hungry, and they don't care. And they had no reason at all to be in the World Series this year, but they found a way. And I think with talent like that, it's really exciting to think of what the future could be like in Athens. And I mean, obviously I have to talk about my friend Lindsay Fico here, right? I mean, I was so excited. The new head coach at Mercer, Carol Parker, recently announced as an assistant over at Mercer. The rest of the staff has not been announced. And I'm not going to about to break some news here, but it's good. You're going to enjoy it. And I'm just so proud of Lindsay. She's worked so hard for this. She's smart. She knows her stuff. She and Kara are one of those duos that could be like a Patrick Murphy and an Allison Habits that are together forever. I mean, they work so well together. They complement each other. And that is a SoCon that doesn't really have a front runner. There were a lot of coaching changes in that league this year. So I think that's also a chance where Lindsay can go in and win immediately. And that's really an exciting prospect. So I'm really proud of her, happy for her. And I cannot wait to see what she and Kara Parker and the rest of that staff can do over in Macon.
I mean, I think it's, like you said, Georgia, if you would have said Georgia was going to be in the World Series, back in February, I think we actually had this conversation and we would have said, no way.
I mean, we saw them 3 weeks before and Alabama swept them and scored 10 runs in the first two innings on their senior day. I mean, there was no chance at all. But the truth, Mary Wilson Avant did her thing and that offense woke up. And I think that there's momentum there, but they've got to find the pitching. With the truth gone, she has been set free. And now it's all about finding that new ace. Britton Rogers maybe, but I think they gotta find somebody that they can develop along with her to be a good 1-2 punch, because it's hard to ride one arm in the SEC.
Yeah, another big coaching news just out. Lauren Laporte, JMU. She was signed an 8-year extension there for the Dukes. So congratulations to her. Happy to see her stay there and help keep building that program.
Congrats to her. Congrats to the Dukes. I mean, you got a coach at a mid-major school that takes you to the World Series. Typically that means see you later. I'm going Power Five, and they kept her. So good for everybody involved.
And then Adrian Gregory, the former Texas Tech coach that left Texas Tech, is now the Volunteers coach at Texas A&M. So that'll be interesting to see how she, I mean, she's super close with Coach Evans, and see how that kind of pans out down with the Aggies.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another A&M team that is young, talented. Haley Lee is going to be somebody that you can build something around if you can get, I think, more consistent pitching. So we'll see what A&M looks like. I mean, the problem is, as we've discussed on these shows, on out-of-the-box shows, on radio broadcasts, the SEC is so good right now that if you're not improving every year, even if you're static, you're falling behind. So it's all about trying to take that next step forward. And I think for A&M, adding a recent Power Five head coach as your volunteer assistant, I mean, that's going to help.
I mean, imagine when Texas and Oklahoma jump into the SEC. It's just going to be madness. I can't. Well, that's for another time. But
are you ready for 16 teams from one conference? 15. Sorry, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, super. It's going to be a super duper conference. I keep making references of Hunger Games because it literally is Hunger Games. It's going to be insane. So, Gray, thank you so much for joining me on Off the Dirt, D1Softball.com. Always a pleasure. Love chatting with you. Enjoy your weekend, hopefully with family and friends. And would love to have you back on. I mean, I'm sure we will in a couple of weeks. But thanks. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me, Tara. This is great.
Cheers.